Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Red Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and send it into overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. Five. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just the kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
Oh, he breaks.
Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Unbelievable.
Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the five, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock for Texas Tech. Unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What's up, everybody? What is going on? Welcome into another edition of the Victory Bells podcast. I'm Will McKay, and as always, joined by my main man, Matt Clare, and just kind of wanted to have a podcast here a couple days before signing day for you guys, just kind of to reset the scene and kind of catch up on everything that's happened over this weekend and everything that's going to happen this week. And we'll also be having newest Texas Tech commit Dante Thompson on here in just a few minutes, just trying to talk about his decision and why he chose to be a Red Raider. But before that, Matt, obviously I think the first thing that we wanted to get into was obviously kind of the big news from this weekend would be Coach Kingsbury and Tech hiring South Oak Cliff head football coach Emmett Jones in some capacity on the staff. It looks like he'll be replacing Daniel Bartlestein on the staff. Let's just kind of talk about that and just kind of go through it, man, and what that kind of does for Tech and, just kind of talk about, that in general.
Yeah, again, as we mentioned on the site, we don't know exactly what happened with Danielle, but
right.
She was very nice to meet and certainly did a good job. So
same
I
here.
Think maybe she moved on to a different opportunity or had something else come up. But, I only point that out to, praise her, but also point out that these are two different approaches. I mean, you're looking
right.
at a guy, I put together that overview, but 13 years of coaching experience within the BISD district. And, that includes after the season's over, going to all these coaching clinics and, becoming a voice within a room at coaches' meetings or district meetings. And so is someone that can open some doors and certainly someone who knows the area and might even know, if he has 13 kids with a football scholarship on his roster that he just left,
right.
then I think the guy might know a thing or two about either recruiting or identifying talent. So from all those things that I laid out, he's going to be responsible for a lot of things with the Tech recruiting department. And for guys that follow this, rapidly on social media or even on our site, that these football operations offices are becoming a lot more experienced, a lot more dynamic. I mean, it's not just, keeping things kind of organized administratively anymore. It's creative. It's, setting up meetings. It's getting in on certain prospects, keeping a hold of them, tactics, different things that you do. And so I just think a fresh set of eyes and someone with coaching experience, someone who, knows how to relate to these kids and kind of, send the message,
right.
if you will. It'll be a strength from that standpoint alone.
Right. And I think something, too, is whenever Cliff hired Mike Jinks on his staff, I think this is kind of a similar hire to that. Obviously, he's not going to be necessarily an on-field coach, but he's a guy that just like Jinks did, he brings in, like you said, a ton of experience, turned around the South Oak Cliff program that, from what I know, was not any good before he got there. And Jinks kind of did the same thing whenever he started out at Cibolo Steel. And both guys have a lot of connections with high school coaches. Both guys are very, you know, well respected in high school coaching community. So I think those are kind of similar things. And you know, obviously the Emmett Jones, you know, he kind of brings all that experience to the table. Like you said, he has 13 years of experience. So I think for guys like Cliff and all the younger guys on staff, just like with, like I already said, with Mike Jinks and even, you know, Lee Hayes, you know, these guys are older guys that can kind of be, you know, voices of wisdom and reason to kind of listen to and learn from.
Well, exactly. And if you do look at his background, obviously head coaching is the headliner, but for the majority of his career, he's been a wide receivers coach. And so he'll be able to, you know, he isn't chained to a desk or anything. I kind of mentioned that as well in some of my
comments.
You know, this is actually looked as another way to get another, you know, not necessarily a position coach, but another voice in practice and on the football field with players. And, you know, part of his job is player development. So I know that with him being, you know, specialized in wide receivers and knowing that, you know, South Oak Cliff, Skyline, while he was there, some of those other schools, you know, they've pushed the limits on, you know, high school offense and, you know, the ability to build these super teams and have tons of kids with D1 interest. So it's just interesting. I mean, I don't know how to kind of encompass it from the other angles, but the, you know, the official Texas Tech Twitter page has already received a facelift. I'm sure he's going to get started. I guess the report is either today or tomorrow. But,
right.
You know, especially right here before signing day, I think the big news, and especially rings true when you compare him to Jinks, is that, you know, just like a couple of Cibola Steel kids are ending up Red Raiders, you've got a couple of kids from South Oak Cliff in town this weekend, you know, that we'd found out about. And now, only days before signing day, you've got possibly another few prospects that are committed to other Big 12 schools or were committed to other Big 12 schools,
right,
possibly looking your way now just because of the Jones hiring.
No, yeah, absolutely. And obviously, like you said, those are kind of the two names, you know, with Jamili Johnson and then with J.F. Thomas, both those guys being in town this weekend. And those are kind of the two guys at the forefront. Then it also, just like it kind of did with Jinks and Houston, I think for 2016 and moving forward, it really kind of puts your foot in the door at more places in DFW maybe than you had before. So, I think this is a great hire all around for Tech. Like you said, recruiting on that front, I think on the social media front, I think he'll improve some things. Like you said, gave the Tech page a facelift. And also, like I said, you know, what's kind of interesting now about the wide receivers is a lot of people seem to forget that even though he's only the special teams coach, that Darren Chiaverini was an NFL wide receiver for, you
exactly.
know, multiple years. So now they have, you know, three voices in that room that I and I think a lot of people in the coaching community that are kind of connected would consider as, you know, some, just to be completely blunt, some really damn good voices in the room
yeah.
full of receivers that kind of just need kind of a sense of direction and a bunch of guys that really need to grow up pretty quick.
Well, and another reason it's important is regardless of credentials or what they have done, it's another, you know, like you said, a voice in the room. And really, you know, at a football practice, you've got your receivers, you've got your quarterbacks, your linemen. I mean, a lot of things are being kind of implemented separately, and then it all comes together. So another person
right.
to spend time with those receivers, maybe even on the little things, because drop passes and what seemed to be maybe mismanaged routes last season, you know, they kind of cost you on a few drives. So even if it helps
right.
out from getting the wide receivers, you know, sharper and on another level, that helps as well. But I think the big boom here is the DFW area. You know, it's right there smack dab in the middle of South Dallas. And so, you know, from there on out, you know, you've got a guy who's been coaching there in the area for 13 years. So he's going to know a lot of people. And, you know, it's already showing dividends with these kids visiting. We'll just have to see kind of what happens next.
No, yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I think obviously the one that I think you kind of lean towards right now, obviously, is Johnson. You know, the cornerback, I think with him decommitting from Texas, I mean, in my opinion, you may disagree. I kind of think the writing's on the wall with that. We'll kind of see what he decides to do. We'll see what he decides to do on signing day, but I'm not saying necessarily he's going to end up at Texas Tech, but he's definitely not ending up at Texas, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, the writing might be on the wall. I really don't, like, I know a lot of these kids from talking to them on the phone and stuff, but I've only, you know, barely connected with Jamil, and he's decommitted from three other programs. So for me to actually
right.
know what he's going to do,
yeah.
It can't be done. But I will say that it does look good, and it's interesting because he can play corner or safety, and I think that with the amount of defensive backs Tech's taken or has in place right now, it might be important for him to kind of get some experience, maybe even as a candidate to not redshirt and actually play on the field, whether it be at safety or cornerback this upcoming season, because you really just never know. You can't depend on your depth as you know it right now.
Right. Right, yeah. And what's kind of been interesting to me is, you know, kind of going into the offseason, you kind of looked at Tech's situation at corner and safety, and you just were like, man, they've got so many kids, you know, in the secondary right now. But then obviously Coach Gibbs and Coach Spavital come in, and they're like, nope, we need to add more kids. So I think that's kind of the first philosophy change you've kind of seen as far as the big one on the recruiting trail is I think they just want as non – I mean, they kind of want as many DBs on the roster as they can get. And basically kind of from what I kind of have gathered about Coach Gibbs and Coach Spavital is they really like to rotate a lot of, corners especially in and out during the game.
Okay.
Kind of, I think, to give guys breathers. That's kind of what I've kind of collected anyway, it seems like that. And that's kind of why it makes sense, I think, that, you've decided to kind of beef up your safety and corner numbers whenever, you know, back in, you know, this time last year or – you know, in June last year, you know, we were talking about Tech only taking one corner and one safety in the entire class. Now it's looking like
you
take two or three or four of DBs overall.
Yeah, you know, they,
you
missed out on Black going to Baylor, and I think
right. Obviously
you saw what happened. They brought in Paul Banks, and who they'd previously known from UH, and he went to high school in the Houston area. We still got to put up a story, you know, about his commitment. We were trying to have him on the show today, but he's still going through his visit now here on Sunday afternoon. But he committed. He knows both Gibbs and Spavital as well from UH. And, you know, he's a kid who, you know, I guess, you know, held a place at UNT not knowing what was going to happen. And so, you know,
right.
I can't, you know, I guess say that we know much of what we have with Paul, but he's another taller kid. You know, it seems like he could play a variety of roles. So hopefully that's the type to pick up. And, yeah, with 3 years to play two, you might not know what you're getting out of him right away either. So
right. Yeah, and like you said, I think some people were kind of, you know, questioning that pickup, and I just said, look, you know, he was committed to Houston at one point, didn't have the grades, and then obviously ended up going to Navarro, and now he's, you know, committed to Tech. And I think obviously that's a familiarity that Coach Gibbs and Coach Spav have with him, and I think at this point, you just have to be confident that they know what they're doing. It's the fact that they would bring him in and pick him up.
No doubt.
Go ahead, man.
Think, you know, adding him is interesting. It's somebody I have to, like, go back and look at. I haven't looked a lot at the highlights, and I haven't gotten to know him, you know, much more than a few or three techs, so – I have talked to him and understand how everything came together, but it just seems, again, you know, that's what we know for right now. But, you know, before we talked a lot about Jameel, I think really, I guess there's rumors out there about qualifications, this, that, and the other. But I think with all things considered, where you were looking for a big wide receiver in this class, kind of striking out on a few kids, kind of having a few things go wrong over the past few months, to have J.F. Thomas in the house and on a visit, you know, with Jameel, whom he's close with and he's teammates with. I mean, I think that's a big plus. And then I even read a story about Coach Jones and Thomas from, you know, when he was at South Oak Cliff these past few years. And, you know, obviously he's got a situation with his mother and her health situation. And I think that's what, you know, really drew him to TCU is to be there and support her. She's doing a little bit better now. And like I said, there were the rumors of not being able to qualify. But, you know, that's another kid that if you could get him into school, I mean, that's an impact football player. He was making Odell Beckham Jr. catches at South Oak Cliff earlier in the season
right. Before
that was a thing. And there's some pictures out there of him making just some one-handed touchdown catches time after time if you watch his highlight tape. So he's a special player, and he brings that size. So it would just be a home run to land someone like that, and especially to keep him away from TCU, who seems to keep gathering more wide receiver commits and athlete commits every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you end up picking up Thomas, I think that, you know, some people that, you know, this is kind of an over exaggeration, but people say Carlos who, you know, in kind of a way where where, you know, you replace Carlos Strickland with him, essentially, and I think that's a home run if you can do that at the end of the day after what's kind of happened in what's kind of happened with your class. But moving forward, we're about to have Ennis Texas wide receiver Dante Thompson on here in a couple minutes whenever he calls in here, and I just kind of want to talk about his commitment, and things got kind of quiet with him before his in-home with Tech, but hey, what do you know, right there he is. So we've got on the line now, we've got new Texas Tech commit and wide receiver Dante Thompson. So what's up, Dante? How you doing this afternoon, man?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Well, good deal. I guess, man, would you just kind of run us through, the last couple of days, obviously, man, decided to commit to Texas Tech. So just kind of what led you to your decision and deciding to become a Red Raider?
Well, my opportunity to play was great. I love the community. I love the team. I love the staff. It just was a perfect fit, I feel like, for me.
Okay. And, Dante, this is Matt. We've talked before a few times, and you said that, you felt it was the right fit. You also mentioned that, it was, I think, early November, mid-November when you made your trip to Lubbock, and you said something felt different, and you didn't know if you could trust that feeling. I guess, how often did you think of that through the holidays and into the new year, and how did it compare to some of the other visits or some of the other schools that you had talked to throughout the process?
Like I said, it was just something. It's just something different. But see, I really don't know what it is. And like over the break and whatnot, I was thinking about it a little bit, but I was still kind of focusing because I still had a state championship to win. So I was still kind of thinking about my high school football. But like I said, it was just something different about taking that no other school had had.
Okay.
Right. Cool. Well, yeah, man, I guess, like you said, you had a state championship to go win. So not many guys get to say that they win a state championship their senior year and kind of go out on a high note. So how did it feel to kind of, win a state title and, have a really big catch there at the end to win it, man?
I mean, it was a great feeling. It still is a great feeling, knowing, like, that you made school history and, like, Texas history. So it was great.
Yeah, we talked about that too, how big of a moment that was, and you said that the excitement and the attention and all of that had really carried on long here into the month of January, but you said it's kind of starting to wind down. I mean, I guess what was the – obviously when it happened, it was probably pretty intense and crazy, but I guess, a week later or so, are you doing like a parade or are you people trying to interview on the news? I mean, what's the craziest thing you had to do with all that attention?
I mean, like – now, like, at every event, they want me to speak in front of all the people, talk about talk about the team and the state game and all that. So it kind of gets pretty hectic with that stuff. Then, you always got people just asking you, like, how you felt and stuff about, like, the catch and all that. So.
Well, Will got to go and watch you guys play. He lives out there in Lubbock, and you guys made
a
trip out there. I guess that was a quarterfinal or a semifinal. But, I mean, he was saying the team was going to you, if you needed a third down, if you needed a big catch, the ball was clearly headed your way, but you were just making, long yardage catches and big conversion catches all night long. So, tell us more about your game and tell us, how you get so open and how you make some of these big plays.
Well, I say my biggest advantage is my just pure height. I create matchup difficulties for linebackers, safeties, and corners. So I say that just me just being big creates my advantage. But then y'all got to catch the ball. So I like to feel like when the ball's on my way, it's my priority to catch it. During the season, the coaches, they kind of put it on my back a lot. And on fourth downs and third downs, when big-time catches or big yardage and stuff needs to be made, they always relied on me to do that. And I helped the team out. I try to help the team out best as I could with it.
Okay.
Well, cool, man. I guess, what have the Texas Tech coaches just kind of told you about what they kind of foresee what kind of role they want you to play? Just kind of where do they want you to play and what they kind of like about you as a receiver?
They want me to play like a stand-up tight end like Jace.
Right.
Like Jace did. So, yeah, like that's my position going in. So, like I said, with my big range, that they feel like I'm able to play that position. But they also said, like, I'll be out wide, like, unlike Jace. Jace was normally in the slot, but they,
right.
they said they'll move me around because, like, my ability to go catch the fade ball and the jump ball. So,
right.
Okay.
And I guess kind of how exciting is that for you, you know, knowing that, you know, your role in college will be a little bit different than it was in high school. Since you'll be playing on the inside more than the outside, but just kind of how exciting is that for you, you know, kind of doing something different moving forward?
I mean, it won't be that big of a difference because,
yeah.
like, this year in high school, even though I started out wide, I also moved inside to, like, slot or even down with my
right.
hand and tight end. So, I mean, it's going to be – I adjust to, like, playing starting in the slot, but, you know, it won't be that big of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about how you're 6'5" and 205 pounds currently. Did the coaches talk about putting you maybe on a cheeseburger diet and getting you big like Jace, or are you just going to kind of do a combination of both?
I mean, the coaches have said I need to gain like that. I don't know if they want me big as Jace, but they said I gain like 10-15 pounds. So.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they're talking about for my freshman season, but I'm pretty sure like that will be bigger by the time I'm a senior.
Okay. And then one of the last questions I had, and Will, you can follow up afterwards, is, you know, I know that Ennis, you guys have had a lot of success. Obviously, we talked about the state championship this year. I know you're close with Jayshon and, you know, Malik as well, you know, your former teammates. And you guys always had deep playoff runs, and Ennis has a winning tradition. But now you're also in the same, you know, we talked about it during our interview, the same district as Lufkin, same district as a lot of those area schools, South Oak Cliff we were talking about earlier today. You know, tell us about the level of competition and maybe even because of that, some of the players you already knew either at Tech or who are committed as well in the 2015 class to Texas Tech.
I mean, yeah, just because we play big teams and good talented teams, I've played against and know a lot of them. Like, I know my sophomore year, we played Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
He just, like, this year I played Kiki commit to Tech.
Right.
You know, just the amount of competition we've played and it just gave me the chance to play against other D1 talents and take commit.
So what did you think of Mahomes when you guys played against one another and how have you, you know, followed his career so far?
I mean, he's an amazing quarterback. In high school, he was an amazing quarterback. Him and Dylan Cantrell, who was a matchup, which is also a Tech football player. So then, you know, just when, you know, I was actually at the Baylor game when he threw over, like, almost 600 yards or so. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's just an amazing guy. He's just a good quarterback.
Right. Well, that's cool. I didn't know you were at the Baylor game. Did you just head up there with some family, or was that something you were just able to do last minute?
It was something planned. I had went with Deshaun and his brother.
Okay.
Cool.
And then
okay.
my last question is, you know, you said that the coaches were here. I know Coach Morris came to the house on, what, Wednesday, but tell us about, I don't know, the past couple of weeks or during the dead period, what was recruiting like for you and, you know, who else came besides Coach Morris to meet with you?
I mean, well, Coach Morris and Coach Kingsbury, they both came on Wednesday. But,
okay.
Yeah, but, what you mean, like, during the dead period? What you mean?
Yeah, like, you know, what schools came to talk to you? You know, who was in your ear? I know you said you were about to visit Houston before you made your commitment. I mean, you know, was it a bunch of different, you know, coaches coming at you here at the end?
I mean, yeah, like, I had officials to Illinois, they were deep on me. They were hard on me. At Houston, I had Kansas. I had Pittsburgh. Pitt. They tried to get a last minute jump on me.
Okay.
I had a couple of local schools like UTSA and Texas State trying to get me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, cool. I guess finally, man, you know, about to sign here in just you know, 3 or 4 days from the day, signing day. So just kind of how exciting is it for you, man, to finally, you know, sign your name on the dotted line, kind of get things over with and kind of move forward?
Oh, man, it's going to be an amazing day for me. It's something that I've been wanting since I was a Pee Wee football player. But, you know, it's just another step forward and hopefully a great, successful career in football.
Well, good deal. Well, Dante, thank you so much, man, for coming on for a couple minutes with us this afternoon. And good luck to you on Wednesday, man. And thanks so much again for coming on.
All right, thank you. No problem.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Congrats, Dante.
All right, thank you.
Once again, that was new Texas Tech commit Dante Thompson. And, man, you know, you get excited about adding a guy, you know, his size. I think he won't play, you know, quite the same role that Jace did. Won't be quite as big. He'll be more of a true receiver, but I think you just get excited about adding a kid with that kind of size.
No, definitely. And I think that not to reach or anything, but I'm trying to describe the, you know, I guess the descriptor I'm looking for here is that, you know, Wes Welker didn't come in with the best numbers and all those things, but what people said about him was his burst off the football and how he could get into routes quickly and crisply. And I think with Dante, you know, he played, you know, he started as a freshman as the center of the varsity basketball team.
Right.
He did that past 3 years. So, you know, he might not be the fastest guy, but he can stop and go, and he can make, you know, the tackles very tough on people. I mean, he's just a big kid, and so maybe they add that 10 to 15 pounds of weight on him and, you know, get him in the inside and, as he said, maybe move around the outside as well. I think they just wanted bigger targets. They wanted guys that could create mismatches and maybe have the defense guessing or trying to double the wrong person at times. I'm not exactly sure, but with Dante, what I'm trying to say in comparison is that, you know, he might have just a different burst and, you know, maybe a different skill set that shines over a 4.440 or you know, any added weight
right now.
I think he's just a very talented receiver.
No, absolutely, and I totally agree. And like you said, you know, I got to see him whenever they played KU-TO out here in Lubbock in a 5A state semifinal game, and the guy just makes clutch catch after clutch catch. I mean, you know, you talk about seeing kids make, you know, pretty impressive catches, and that's all he really did the whole game. He just made catch after catch after catch that kind of made you just say, wow, or, you know, just kind of made you open up your eyes a little bit more. Just a really impressive kid as just a kind of a pure receiver. You know, for a guy his size, he has really, really good body control. He can jump. He has a good change of direction, like you said. They would even have him on, like, bubble screen to take the ball, which most of the time you're not going to see a kid that size really even at the high school level catch bubble screens. And he would do it, you know, and he would, you know, get around a couple guys and gain some yardage out of it. So like you said, I think just his combination of size and his, you know, ball skills and receiver skills is something that really impresses me. And like he said, I think you'll see him play on the inside some. But then at the same time, I think you'll see him, you know, play outside receiver or right around the goal line.
I think he nailed it himself. He said he made the comparison to Cantrell, and he said, I think that'll be a somewhat similar role, you know, how they use him and how they'll use me. Now, how quickly he'll get there, we didn't address that. You know, he most likely will need to redshirt, but I guess that all depends on what the coaches are running out there at receiver.
No, absolutely, I agree. It just kind of depends on what they kind of decide to run out there. But don't mean to interrupt you, but we actually have we got one more caller, and he just called in. That'd be you know, Texas Tech wide receiver commit Quan Short. So I guess first off, man, just kind of how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good.
Well, good deal.
Matt Clair, how you doing, man? Oh, sorry.
I'm good. You're good, Matt. You go ahead.
Oh, man, I just wanted to say thanks for joining us. I know, you know, all this recruiting stuff's getting crazy down the road here to signing day, and you had, I guess, quite the adventurous week. How are you feeling now that everything's kind of coming to an end? And I saw you doing photo shoots and kind of all these different interviews. I mean, do you feel like this is all done and you feel pretty confident with what you've decided?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's all done. It was a crazy process, but I got through it thanks to my friends and family, but everything's good now.
Okay. Well, cool. I guess, yeah, man, just kind of talk about, you know, the last week. I know it was, you know, kind of crazy for you. I know you obviously had, you know, the Tech coaches, Coach Kingsbury, Coach Jinks come by. So I guess first off, just talk about having those guys come by the house and getting to see them.
Yeah, it was good seeing my future, especially Coach Kingsbury. I wasn't expecting him, but it was nice seeing the people I'm going to be with the next 4 years.
So what's it like rolling around with the head coach and some of the assistants? I saw you guys taking pictures and y'all are all over the school. I mean, what's that like when those guys are there to see you?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. My friends got to meet Coach. My teachers got to meet him. It was pretty cool.
Okay. And, you know, you had a pretty busy week. You had, I mean, throughout this whole time, I guess people, in my opinion, like I said, when we first met, I'd never really heard much about you. And then I turn on the tape and I wonder why not. But it just seems as the process kept going, you kept getting new offers. And then Nebraska and Coach Riley came after you pretty hard this week, huh?
Right. They did. They came to the house. I had an in-home visit. It was pretty good. I mean, I would have considered it, but it was just too late in the recruiting process. So I didn't think it was a good idea to take a visit.
Okay. And I know the coaches must have been pretty excited when you told them that everything was all good and you were sticking with Tech, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, cool deal, man. I guess just kind of talk a little bit more about Tech and, you know, obviously your relationship with the coaches, with Coach Morris, Coach Curtis, and just all those guys, and, you know, I guess what they've kind of meant to you since, you know, you've always been committed for so long now, man.
We have a good relationship. I talk to Coach Morris a lot, the receivers coach, and he was one reason why I committed and why I'm so comfortable with him, because of his relationship with me, and I just feel like it's a family, you know, and it's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Right. You know, you mentioned family, and I see you guys, I guess, other commitments and even some of the new commitments. You guys are congratulating one another on either, looks like the visit's fun, or congrats, welcome to the family, you know, for a new commit. You know, who do you talk with the most, and I guess do you guys all kind of keep in touch a certain amount of time?
Yeah, we talk a lot on Twitter, but I keep in touch with Corey, the running back from Port Arthur. We played against each other like twice. The receiver, Kiki from Lufkin, we know each other. We played against each other in playoffs. So it's pretty cool just seeing all of us come back together and going to college together.
That's cool.
Right. And there's a number of guys, you know, from East Texas and Houston and, like you said, from Port Arthur. So kind of how cool is that knowing that, you know, that there's, you know, a handful of guys that are going to go up to Tech with you that, you know, are kind of from the same area?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We all played against each other. We all know each other real well. So it should be fun going to college together and playing ball.
And, you know, I know that when the coaches come to visit and they're meeting with your folks and you guys are just kind of there, you're asking questions and the coaches are telling you a little bit more about what to expect. I mean, you know, take us through some of the things that you guys are talking about and what the coaches, I guess, expect out of you moving forward once we get past signing day and we talk about enrolling in the summer or even coming by during the off season.
Oh, yeah, I plan on going up there in the spring, but I leave June 1st to go up there officially. But they just tell me stuff like, get ready to play. You got a good chance of playing as a freshman. You have the size, the skill set. It's just a mind thing. And if you want it, you got to go get it. That's basically what they're telling me.
Okay. And you mentioned size. What's your current height and weight now, Corn?
I'm 6'2", 195.
Okay.
Cool. I guess, man, you know, like you said, you know, you're going to come in. I know that you said before that they want you to come in and play Z on the outside. So I guess how exciting is that for you, like you said, to kind of have a chance to come in and play, especially after, you know, you get to see a couple, you know, freshman receivers, guys like, you know, Cameron Batson and Ian Sadler, those guys got to play, you know, as true freshmen on the inside, I guess, you know, this last year. Kind of how exciting is that for you to kind of maybe have the same chance to do a similar thing this next year?
Yeah, that's very exciting because I actually played Z in high school, so I'm familiar with the position and I'm comfortable with it, so it should be a good deal.
Okay. And I guess you guys, you said you're doing a whole ceremony. What time is your decision coming on Wednesday, or not your decision, your ceremony, if you will?
It's at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning.
Okay. Well, I didn't have any other questions, but just wanted to say thanks for joining us, Quan, and, you know, congrats on your decision, and best of luck with everything else. We'll probably be in touch sometime in the off season to do like a get to know you type deal. But congratulations on your decision, and thanks for joining us today.
Okay, sounds good.
Absolutely, thanks so much, man. And then once again, there was a fellow wide receiver commit. That was Quan Shorts from Atascocita. And, I think for a while people were kind of worried about what kind of was going on at, with the receiver recruiting, kind of the numbers. But I think you really like the guys you have committed right now, especially, adding some size with both Shorts and Thompson, and then, adding a couple of, you know, really shifty guys with Tony Brown and with Kute.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention Jonathan Giles, who can do the
right,
same
yeah,
thing
yeah.
With a little more size. So, you know, you've got a little bit of everything, and I think, you know, I think Shorts just said he's 6'2", 195. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. When I met him, he's got like a little bit of a high top going on right now, so I couldn't tell exactly, but, you know, he's definitely taller than me, and I'm right at 6 foot. So I've always held stronger than 6'1", but he says 6'2". I mean, I don't know, that's kind of, you know, right above, you know, and right below, you know, the biggest and, you know, your average size. So I just think that he brings something, and he's, like I said, been a lot, very much under the radar, in my opinion, because, you know, when you see a kid
Absolutely.
As we're recovering this, I guess I hope that came out right now in hindsight, but when we see, you know, okay, just one offer from UTSA, interest from this, and this, I mean, not saying, you know, there's a stereotype or any type of, you know, things to judge off of, but when you put on the tape, you're not expecting to see some of the plays that he was making. And, you know, I got to see him in person. He's another guy that's kind of shifty quick, but uses his size well. And, you know, they did a lot to get him the football. And, I mean, you know, the two guys that we've talked to just tonight, Shorts and Thompson, you know, those are guys that just find the end zone too. So I'd have to look at Brown's numbers. I know Giles did as a quarterback, and I know Kute was a playmaker both his junior and senior year. So you just, you know, you're adding a lot of different elements to the offense, and I like the variety.
Absolutely, and I think while there's been some angst here at the end of the recruiting cycle, which kind of how things have gone, and understandably so, I think, you know, the areas that you really needed to kind of address with a lot of numbers, you've kind of done what you need to do, you know, especially, you know, along in the trenches on the offensive and defensive line and at receiver, you know, kind of where they were the lowest on, you know, numbers. You know, they've added a ton of guys at all positions.
Yeah, I mean, it could look even better on signing day, and we've still got some guys that are, you know, making some decisions. And so, you know, it's kind of been a different change of direction when you don't have a quarterback, and you did focus on that for a few weeks there, you know, at the end of the year of 2014. When it was still an open period. But now I think they've put some pieces together. I think the biggest deal is having Gibbs in place. And now you add Coach Emmett Jones to that. That's going to start this week. I mean, I think there's a lot to, you know, a lot of things in terms of headlines kind of going into this offseason, and especially into this week to see how they finish. But we'll be going through each possible recruit or commit, and we'll be breaking down some of the highlights of the class and some of the different details, and then, you know, of course, emptying the bucket after it's all said and done.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, some people will be interested to hear some things we have to say. When we do kind of empty the bucket on some things that might not be out there, I think there'll be some interesting things that they kind of come out, but I guess you know, before we shut this thing down, since we really won't have a podcast or much before signing day gets here, as far as you and I on the podcast, I think we just kind of close this thing out with, you know, kind of the decisions on signing day, and I you know, just between you and I, and just kind of give our opinion on each individual guy. If that's cool with you, man.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. I'll just start it out. I've only got four guys listed, and if there's any more you can think of, you're more than welcome to add those. But, you know, just kind of going in order, I want to talk about first, Simisi Uluwave, obviously Hawaiian guard. You know, things obviously kind of changed there with him since he's going on his two-year mission. But I think he ends up a Texas Tech commit. That's just my opinion. Things kind of fell apart with UCLA there at the end. No, he didn't take his official out there, so Texas Tech or Oregon there, and I think he ends up at Tech.
Yeah, with Uluwave, I mean, I guess all the details are worth discussing, but he's going to go on the two-year deal, so I kind of chalk that one away to I guess a less importance. But last I heard,
right,
he's in Cal, but he had Tech on top, or he was feeling Tech. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, a Polynesian kid visits California, you know, he might dig it and might like it more than Tech, so you never know.
Right. And not to interrupt all this again, but yeah, you know, we kind of put some things together kind of last minute for the podcast today, including, you know, having now we have on, you know, our one of our guys that kind of helps us out, Matt, and kind of knows the deal with everything that's kind of going on, and that would be Rivals regional analyst Jason House. So, Jason, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, I don't know. My head's spinning a little bit as signing day comes up. This is craziness, isn't it?
Oh, it is, man. But it's fun, right?
Absolutely. This is what we do it for, right?
Yeah, right. Well, for those that might not know, Jason covers the entire state of Texas and regionally around here, and he knows what's going on with literally everyone. But, Jason, I wanted to have you hop on. I'm sure we'll be able to talk to you after signing day, but just kind of looking at some of the latest news, especially since you cover a lot of the DFW area as well. You know, are you familiar with that South Oak Cliff program? And could you tell us a little bit more about Emmett Jones, I guess, from your experience?
Yeah, well, he came over from Skyline, took over the job there at South Oak Cliff, and really has done a great job of building it up. You know, when they got there, you know, South Oak Cliff had athletes every now and then, you know, over the years,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of slipped a bit, and they really revitalized the program, you know, brought in some new energy, and, you know, they got that program humming really quick. Definitely has shown himself to be a really good coach, a good communicator with the kids, and a guy that, you know, gets out there and gets after it.
It's good to hear.
Right.
And, you know, especially – go ahead.
Oh, I was probably going to say the same thing you are, Matt. I was just going to say, you know, what do you kind of think that he brings to Texas Tech staff? You know, it kind of sounds like he's going to kind of be, you know, a jack-of-all-trades member of the staff, kind of doing some off-field stuff and maybe, you know, kind of doing some – maybe some stuff to help with the receivers, but I guess kind of what's your opinion of him and what he kind of does for Texas Tech, you know, as a coach and a recruiter, kind of.
Well, as a recruiter, I think that energy he brings and his connection, he knows kids all over the city of Dallas. You know, he's developed relationships with kids all over, and especially those guys out there at South Oak Cliff. He's been in DISD for a while, and really, you know, I think those connections, he's really well respected in the coaching community around the area. So, you know, he's one of those guys that can walk into a school and, you know, it's everybody knows who he is already, you know.
Yeah.
And he relates well to kids. You know, he's a guy that, yeah, I think kids feel comfortable, you know, going to him about issues and things that are going on or, you know, just joking around and having a good time, whatever it is, you know, that
he's able to,
he does a great job at that kind of stuff. You know, it's, and as a coach, I mean, yeah, I think what he's done at SOC has kind of shown for itself. Taken a program that was really, you know, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't what, you know, people had expected over the years of SOC, and he was able to come in and bring it back up really, really quickly. You know, likes that wide open style. You know, got the ball in the hands of his playmakers. They had an aggressive defense. You know, they did a lot of things out there that made it fun. You know, and the kids really enjoyed it, and they played really hard for him. And he showed that he could, you know, he developed some really nice schemes, and you know, he's a good football coach.
Right.
Well, you mentioned some of his playmakers, and he already brought a few with him this weekend, indirectly for official visits, and that was Jameel Johnson and J.F. Thomas. You know, forget that they're, you know, committed or were committed elsewhere or what those probabilities of landing them might be. I know you got to see those guys earlier this year, so maybe a few thoughts on each of those guys, Jameel Johnson and J.F. Thomas, if you have to say.
J.F. Thomas, definitely from a size and athletic standpoint, he's an elite prospect. He's got some work to do refining his, you know, routes and, you know, his footwork and all that kind of stuff. But from a pure talent standpoint, he's one of the best in the state, for sure. I know there was quite a bit of debate over who might be better, former Tech commit Carlos Strickland or J.F. Thomas in the Dallas area. You know, that was a big debate, and you know, there's plenty of people who thought J.F. At least you know, he had a really good season, and as far as upside, he probably has the better upside of it too, just because he's still learning, he's still developing in a lot of ways, and he's got. If you could tap into that, that's somebody that we could be talking about, you know, being an NFL draft pick, you know, in the next few years. And Jameel, the thing about him is he brings such a – he's a very big kid for a defensive back. He brings a lot of size to the secondary. He's a kid that's played cornerback and played safety. He's very smart. He's the kind of guy that, you know, coaches would trust out there. They knew that, all right, we can do this with Jameel, and he's going to be all right. You know, he's gonna make sure everybody else is where they're supposed to be, or, you know, he's going to have his stuff locked down. You know, and he's been a starter on that team since he was a sophomore. So, He's the guy that's been there for the long haul for those guys, and he's more of a safety prospect. I think when we first ranked him as a cornerback, and then we moved him over to safety. I think he's proven himself to be a little bit better safety than a corner, but a guy that if you saw the Semper Fi game, had a tremendous game at the Semper Fi All-American game, and you know, just he's not afraid to come up and get physical, that's for sure.
Cool.
I guess, you know, obviously with only a couple days left before signing day, Tech's only got a couple more prospects they're looking at. But I guess, Jason, just kind of what's your thought on, you know, Tech's class overall with the guys you're familiar with and what they've kind of done so far?
I really like the offensive line group. I really do. And
I agree.
You know, even if things don't work out with J.F. Thomas, if they're not able to pull him into the class, I like the receiver group. I think that's a really good group, even without a guy like Strickland. I mean, that's a solid class that you're talking about out there. I think, but yeah, that offensive line group, I just like those guys. I
Absolutely.
Love Connor Dyer. I just like how gritty he is. And he's smart and nasty and in the right ways. Like, you know, in the trenches, you have to play with a little bit of an edge. And he does not mind getting down there and, you know, getting into a guy, you know, putting him in the dirt and
right.
giving him that extra push, getting up, you know. You know, it's not necessarily dirty play against the rules kind of stuff. But,
right.
You know, the stuff that you look for in an offensive line. And I think Coach Hayes likes that too. He likes that guy that, you know, got a little bit of a rough edge to him. So, and that's, you know, you want an offensive line where regardless of how the game turns out, the other team's defensive front is like, yeah, I don't get those guys. Not the offense.
Yeah.
I don't want to go up against that guy anymore. So, and that's kind of what Connor Dyer brings to the table. Cam Nondue is a guy kind of like that, but I love his potential more than anything. He's just a guy that's so athletic, and he's got such a big frame. He can do a lot of different things, and he could really develop into something really special out there. So,
well, two other guys, and then we'll let you go. We talked briefly about Lonzo Gilmore, but also Tiki Kute is a kid that we don't hear a lot about, just because he doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, but I know you've probably seen him a few times. Just your thoughts on those two guys.
Well, Gilmore, I got a chance to see him at Tech's camp, actually, this last summer.
Right.
And he's a guy that's a bit of a tweener. You know, he's not quite what you're looking for at outside linebacker, not quite what you're looking for at defensive end, but he is he's very quick off the edge. He's got the ability to drop back into coverage and play kind of a hybrid type of role. You know, I really like what he brings to the table. I think he's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's a little bit on the young side for the class. And
yeah, he's 17.
And, you know, so he's one of those guys that, you know, he gets up there to Lubbock. He can really, you could see him change a little bit over the next few years in a very good way from a physical standpoint. But he does bring a really interesting athletic package, and he's got a frame that you could really build on. Who was the other one?
Kute.
Oh. He's one of those guys that he's just a jitterbug, you know. He's quick as lightning, you know. He's one of those guys you don't want to be one on one with him if you're on defense, having to try and make an open field tackle. It's just not going to happen too many times. You get that kid in space, which Tech is most likely going to do. He can really make a defense pay in a hurry. You know, he's a guy that you can line up multiple places. You know, whether it's in the slot or, you know, coming across the formation, whatever you do with him, he's going to be a guy that contributes and has the potential to be a big play threat. Jakeem Grant kind of mold. And he could be a special teams kind of guy as well. He's done that quite a bit over the years at Lufkin, too. So,
well, that's all I have, man. I appreciate you joining us. Just wanted to kind of grab your thoughts and opinions on a few of these cats and a few of the things that are going on right now. But we sure appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime.
Thanks, Jason.
See you. Have a good one.
Once again, that was Jason Howell. And just like you said, man, wanted to get him on just real quick, kind of catch him here at the end and get his opinion on some things. But yeah, I agree with him. I think the offensive line class and receiver class are the two things you kind of like the most about Tech's class.
Yeah, I guess we've got a few more guys. You mentioned Ulave, Joseph Flicker on signing day,
right, okay.
Chris Warren on signing day, and then Carson McGinnis, you know, he said he'd decide whenever, so I guess we'll see what it comes down to for him.
Yeah, I guess, like we said, with Uluwave, I think he ends up a Tech commit. We'll kind of see what happens with that. Chris Warren, Tech or Tech kind of looks like, I guess, that looks pretty 50-50, but I think Tech kind of likes where they sit. Just kind of your thoughts on that one too, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's Texas or Tech, and I don't have a read, but I do think
Texas
has a chance here. I mean, he is coming back from Washington right now, so you know, there's your wild card. But I think he wants to stay here closer to home, and you know, Tech's been after him for a long time, so you can't discount that.
Right. And then, like you said, with JoJo Wicker, Tech, Arizona State, or UCLA, kind of sounds like Tech or Arizona State based off what I think you and I and Lovell and Aaron have heard. That's going to be kind of an interesting one because I think Tech feels pretty good about him too. But I think that's pretty 50-50 too between Tech and Arizona State. Maybe, I don't really know. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, I don't know. He's at UCLA this weekend. I think we'll see how that plays out. I don't know. I mean, I posted that video that they had shared. And I mean, he speaks very fondly of Tech and he was here for OU weekend. So, you know, it was a good game, and it was a rowdy crowd, according to him. And so, you know, just have to kind of see what all kind of plays into it for him. If ultimately he chooses to stay, to stay closer to home, then there's that. But, you know, he does have a cousin here at Tech, and, you know, the coaches have been in it with him till the end. So it's another one to watch for.
Right. And then finally, you know, the last one we want to talk about here, we got about 4 minutes left. The last one we want to talk about, obviously, is Arthur McGinnis, who was on his official visit to Oklahoma this weekend, and his final three are Tech, Oklahoma, and Arizona. Seems like Oklahoma or Tech. I don't know what to think about that one. I think Oklahoma might have an edge up having the last visit there, but I think it'll come down to Tech or Oklahoma for him.
I don't know. I mean, I know he has a teammate, two teammates now committed to Arizona, and I know that doesn't mean much of anything to him, you know, based on the interview, but I know that that's going to weigh into his decision. But also, Arthur's a kid I've learned to know that it's not that he's trying to mislead you. He's just a lot more mature than your average, high school senior, and he doesn't really get caught up in the, you know, what's your top three, or what do you like about this school, or tell me about this. I mean, he just kind of has his own idea of, you know, what's comfortable and what's right for him. And I think that's another one. They'll be in to the end, but he said, you know, he's going to decide before signing day. So if it's not tonight, it's definitely, you know, sometime tomorrow
or Tuesday. Yeah. Cool. So, that's kind of where things sit. I guess you have about 6 spots left in the class. And I guess if everything fell your way, you know, you might end up with a full class, but probably aren't going to land all those kids. Might get one or two of them, I think. But we'll kind of see what happens here in the next, you know, 2 or 3 days. Always kind of the most exciting time of the year for us. You don't really know what's going to happen. And always something kind of crazy can happen here down the stretch. So, excited for all our coverage this week. Matt, you got any closing thoughts? We got about 2 minutes left.
Nope, just a big fan of what they did with Coach Jones. I wish Danielle the best, and I think it's just another strong move. You know, we talked about adding experience for a coach like Kingsbury, and if he can't go through a bevy of years of coaching experiences to find some guys he knows, he might as well give other people opportunities similar to what he'd received at a younger age. So Coach Jones obviously wanted to try his hand at the NFL, but the D1 level, and so now he's in the Big 12, and you know, best of luck to him and Tech moving forward. That's I just think that's a very good move, and I'm curious to see what happens with that.
Absolutely. I think I totally agree with you. I think that's a very smart and savvy hire by Coach Kingsbury. I think that does a lot for your staff, does a lot for your program, especially in Dallas-Fort Worth. So, that's all we've got for today. But, we'll see what kind of happens there in the next few days. Thanks thanks so much for listening to the Victory Bus Podcast. Once again, I'm Will. He's Matt. Hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend and have a great week.
See ya.